Hello and welcome to our latest NWSL preview show. Once again, my name is Kieran Tavam and I'm joined by my good friend JJ Duke. JJ, how are you, mate?
I'm very good. Very good.
Good man, good man. Today we are, or on this occasion, we are going to be previewing the Chicago Red Stars. Finished the season very strongly last year. Unfortunate for them, they lost out in the playoffs to the Washington Spirit, but Rory Dames is someone who uses the draft very well. They have a pretty established side. They haven't really lost anyone from the team last year. They are sure to be there or thereabouts again this year, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing with this team is they have all the pieces. I think this will be the first time in a few years that now they're going to have this core group together throughout the entire season. We obviously look at the last 2 years. Obviously, 2015, we had the World Cup, so they're missing a handful of players. Last year at the Olympics, now this year in 2017. Not to say that there's no excuses, but at this point for Chicago, they've got all the pieces. Can they just figure out how to win come October when it's the playoffs?
Where do we think the key is going to be for them to achieve that? We mentioned that they haven't really lost any of the key pieces of the puzzle from last year. They came very close to overcoming a very strong Washington Spirit side. If it weren't for a Kristen Press effort that cannoned off the bar, they might have even been going through to the championship game. They are very strong in every department, but what's going to be the key for them kind of overcoming that final hurdle to get through to a championship game?
Putting like mental blocks aside, because you always start to think about it at that point, but in terms of tactical play, I think it's finding consistency with scoring. I mean, defensively, this team is just about as good as anybody. They gave up, 20 goals last year, thereabouts, so they give up about a goal a game, but they only score a little over a goal a game. And that's the thing when always hearing Rory Dames' comments, he always wanted to have that consistent 1-2 punch. He just never got it last year because when Kristen Press is there, Kristen Press scores goals. I mean, Kristen Press last year, she bagged 8 goals in 14 games. But then there's nobody else doing it. But then when Kristen Press goes off for Olympic competition last year, Sofia Huerta comes in and dominates. But they never had that 1-2 punch on the same field. If they can develop that this season, then I think they got some real good things going for them.
Yeah, it's interesting that you kind of point that out. We actually had Sofia Huerta on our preview show last year, and I asked her that very question. How difficult is it for a forward to kind of build up that relationship with players when they're not always there? You know, she's playing with Kristen Press for a few weeks, then Kristen goes off with the women's national team, so then she's paired up with Jen Hoy, and then when Kristen comes back, it might be Sofia and Kristen Press, or it could be Kristen Press and Jen Hoy. It's very difficult, isn't it? You know, the key to a good strike partnership is game time together and consistency, and unfortunately Chicago didn't have that last year. With no major tournament for the US this year, this could be the time that those relationships are struck.
Yeah, it is. And also, we can't forget about the fact that back-end season acquisition, Steph McCaffrey, now comes into the fold. Now, this team will have an entire offseason and a full preseason to work out the kinks with each other and try to find that chemistry. And look, you know, some of those things, it doesn't even come on the field. It might just be spending enough time with people in general, and then you start to find those little connections, and it translates into working out on the field. I mean, you know, obviously this might be a little unfamiliar for you, Kieran, but, you know, for baseball here in America, we always talk about in spring training where catchers and pitchers will always spend a whole lot of time together. They might go golfing together, they might get dinner together, but they work out that relationship, because if those two aren't on the same page and the whole thing goes awry. Same thing, I think, for, you know, forwards, for soccer. If you're all on the same page, it can be beautiful. If it isn't, then we see what happened with Chicago last year. They just weren't ever in sync, and they couldn't find it when it mattered the most.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true. I look at their roster, and one of the things that leaps out to me is the number of players who, from the Red Stars side, went and played down in the W League in Australia. You're looking at players like Aaron Gilliland, you're looking at Katie Norton, Danny Colaprico, Vanessa DiBernardo, Sofia Huerta, Jen Hoy. They all went and they played down in Australia. I wonder how much of an advantage that's going to give them, having kept sharp in the off-season, well, the American off-season, but playing in the W League season, playing competitive football as opposed to training on their own, and which a lot of players will have had to do in the off-season. They went down, they continued playing, they kept sharp, and I wonder how much of a benefit that's going to be. I look at someone like Huerta, especially, who for Adelaide was prolific down under. I look at someone like Colaprico for Adelaide, who had a really good season. Vanessa DiBernardo had another strong season for Perth. I wonder how much of a benefit that's going to be for them going into this season.
I mean, you know, it's always a good thing to stay in form, right? A lot of people talk about there are similarities between the NWSL and the W League. A little bit of differences, but it's about just staying sharp. You know, it's tough. Players always talk about this incredibly long off season that the NWSL has, and fair play to them, because it is. So you go get better, and the way to do that is by playing matches, and these players did that. And if you're going down there just to get, you know, repetitions, but you're not looking for success, that almost, for me, seems kind of like it's a backwards, you know, trend. You want to be performing at a high level. Obviously, a lot of those players you name, Kieran Colaprico, and Gilliland, DiBernardo, these are all players that are also on the cusp of really breaking into the national team. And they're also showing not only their intent to perform at, you know, their American clubs, but they want to get into the national team. They want to be performing, you know, match in, match out for their country. And by having success down this winter, at least our American winter, that's only going to help them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm completely with you on being on the cusp of the US Women's National Team. I do wonder where they fit in, though. We know that Jill Ellis already has an abundance of players to pick from. We've seen Casey Short get into that squad, and obviously we saw her in the She Believes Cup. She played as a centre-back as opposed to an outside-back, which is where she plays for the Red Stars. But I look at someone like Gilliland, I think she's probably one of the more unfortunate players not to have been called in. I think she's been phenomenal, hasn't she, since she joined the Red Stars. And Colaprico, I have no idea how she's not got into that squad, because I think she'd probably walk into every other squad in world soccer.
No, I agree. I mean, obviously, she's had a couple of looks. She's also been kind of banged up a little bit, a few injuries here and there. I remember hearing reports, whether they're true or not, saying that, you know, probably if the timing was right and she wasn't injured, she would have been involved with the camps. Actually, I do believe there was one camp where she was named and just wasn't able to go into it because she had a little bit of a knock. I mean, that's always going to happen. But yeah, no, I mean, look, we've seen it before with this national team that players that do hit form will eventually get a nod. I mean, we saw it with Lynn Williams this past winter, McDonald getting a couple of looks, even Kristen Edmonds, who had a phenomenal season for Orlando, at least getting called into multiple camps. So the chances are there. But in terms of the Red Stars right now, look, if you want your team to be performing at a peak this entire year, a lot of the players did the right thing by staying at this peak shape that they're in, by getting matches, and it's going to translate. I've got a little doubt about it.
We've talked about the midfield. We've talked a little bit about the forward line with Kristen Press and Jen Hoy, Sophia Huerta, Steph McCaffrey. You mentioned earlier defensively how solid this team is, and no doubt, once again, they will look to build around Julie Johnston, who year after year since coming into the NWSL gets better and better. I think, and I was quite honest, I think there are times where Julie has this capability to make those last ditch tackles that are so key and can often prevent a goal scoring opportunity. But I do think sometimes, and it is only sometimes, she can be caught a little bit positionally. If you look at someone like Becky Sauerbrunn, quite often you don't even hear about Becky Sauerbrunn, and that is because positionally she's always in the right place. And I think that's something that maybe Julie will continue to develop, but no doubt they will build the defense around her.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, you and I are talking off air coming into this recording, and we're trying to, you know, figure out what pieces are, you know, missing, what haven't been found. Here's the big thing about this team. They're coming in with 20 contracted players. 19 of those are returning from last year. The loan changes, Amanda DaCosta moves from Chicago to Boston, Summer Green comes in originally from Seattle, though we haven't seen her yet on an NWSL field. So you have the pieces, you have all the players that you want if you're Rory Dames. It's just tinkering, maybe find a little bit of specific motivation for some to get them fired up, because for the most part, these players know, well, you know, unlike other camps, there's not going to be a real whole lot of fight to keep your place. All these players, for the most part, have their spot lined up. Maybe one trialist comes in and knocks off a contracted player. That's what Rory Dames is, you know, talking with me about back during the draft. You're going to have to find those motivated players. But I think the group that he has is there. And with defense, left to right, I don't see any issues. I don't see any problems or gaping holes, because if ever a ball got by them, guess who team still had to get past? To get past the U.S.'s current number one in Alyssa Nair. So it's just finding, you know, those little things to, you know, fire up one player that's going to translate to the rest of the team, and that's where they can go.
You are a brave man for mentioning Alyssa Nair being the current U.S. Women's National Team number one, my friend.
I will say that Alyssa
you are a brave man, I tell you. I am going to be directing the abuse your way if it comes over to us. That's all I am saying. But look, you mentioned a player there that I've got in front of me is someone I wanted to talk about, Summer Green. Now, Summer obviously went to the Seattle Reign, as you mentioned. She went there with quite a bad injury, didn't get any game time. I know Laura Harvey drafted her with the intention of looking at her as maybe more of a long-term prospect. She obviously isn't there anymore. She's in Chicago. We've heard a lot about her, has been in the U.S. Women's National Team youth setup. I must confess, I don't know a lot about her, and I'm sure that there are some people listening who don't. For those that want to know a little bit more, what sort of player have Chicago got in Summer Green, and how good can she be?
How good can she be? She can be very good, if not getting into the national team circuit in a year or two. But two big things. One is obviously getting back to full fitness. We haven't seen her now in at least 17 months because, you know, she picked up an injury before the draft, or no, she actually picked up a knock when she was in North Carolina in her college days, and missed, I think, the last couple of matches of her collegiate career. Still gets drafted, as you said, Laura Harvey very high on her, but got rid of her, and here she is in Chicago. So now there's speed that comes to it, and her technical ability just jumped off the page. From getting into North Carolina and then to leaving it, it's just so much better. It's just now, I think for me, you know, it's always that translation. She lost an entire year. And we always talk about with college players ascending to the professional game and even how fast the college game is for some, it's just a new level. So she lost an entire year on the learning curve. So it's going to take some time for her. But if Rory Dames is patient, and I know he is a patient man, I think he got a little bit of a winning deal here.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I'm looking forward to seeing her. I hope she can get some game time. I'm a big fan of Rory Dames as well. His record with young players is without question, and I'm sure that if anyone's going to get the best out of Summer Green, it's going to be Rory Dames. Well, I think we'll wrap up our preview, mate. When we come back after the break, we will bring you an interview with a member of the Red Stars roster.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
So, welcome back to our Chicago Red Stars NWSL season preview. We are delighted to be joined for our preview by 2015 Rookie of the Year, Danielle Colaprica, who's currently at the time of recording out in Portland ahead of some pre-season friendlies. Danielle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Do you prefer Danielle or Danny?
Everyone for the most part calls me Danny, but Danielle works too.
Awesome. Well, look, as I mentioned, you are out in Portland as we're recording this. You've got some friendlies going up, coming up ahead of you. You've been in preseason camp now for a couple of weeks. How's it all going? How are preparations going ahead of the new season?
Yeah, I think preseason has been great for the whole team, across the board. I think it's been one of the most competitive preseasons we've had here in Chicago from what I've heard, and it's definitely been the most competitive out of the 3 years I've been here so far, so that's good. And you know, it's nice to see that everyone's competing for a spot this year on the 20 player roster, so that's good. And we're really excited to get underway in our first preseason games against Portland, Houston, and the 23s.
You mentioned that competition for places. How healthy is that for someone like yourself? Obviously, you have some really good midfielders in Chicago, the likes of yourself and Vanessa DiMonado and others as well. Does that kind of push you on even further to ensure that you're one of those first names on the team sheet?
Yeah, I mean, definitely helps. I think that having a competitive environment every day pushes everyone, and especially myself. There's a lot of great midfielders on this team, and no one has their spot secluded. So, like, we're all fighting for our own spot. So it's a grind.
How determined, certainly in the first couple of weeks that you've been back in preseason, how determined have you noticed the squad being and the roster being in, you know, off the back of a really good year last year, obviously, came so close to making a championship game, got to the playoffs, narrow defeat against the Washington Spirit. How much does that push you guys on even more to succeed for this 2017 campaign?
Yeah, obviously last year's a little upsetting, you know, and definitely disappointing the way it ended. We wanted to make it all the way, and we wanted to win last year, and I think it just motivates us this year that we know we can play in the playoffs, and I think it was unlucky last year, and I think we're ready. I think the experience in the semifinals the past 2 years has really helped us, and I think we're going to push to the final this year, and we want to win it.
I look at a team like yours. If I look at the NWSL as a whole, you see players move around quite a lot. There's trades that take place. There are players that are released, picked up off free agency, picked up off waivers. When I look at the Red Stars, over the last couple of years, certainly, there's been a lot of player retention. You've managed to keep the core of the side, yourself and Sophia and Vanessa DiBernardo. Katie Norton obviously came in last year. Julie Johnston was drafted a couple of years ago. There doesn't seem to be many players that leave the Red Stars. How important is that in terms of continuity and building relationships so that you can try and almost perform better year on year?
Yeah, I think that's key to our success. I think being around the same players each year and building off each other, knowing each other's how each other plays definitely helps each year. And it's nice to have the same core of players on the field every year, and we learn from each other, and it's not, we never really have to start from new. So that's nice. And I think it's really shown in this preseason, especially. We know each other's movements on the field, each other's tendencies. So that's nice.
And for camaraderie, it must be good as well.
Yeah.
Any interesting stories you want to share from preseason so far?
In terms of what?
In terms of any, that camaraderie coming to fruition.
Well, I mean, interestingly, today we couldn't get out of our parking spot after brunch, so that was exciting. It took us about 30 minutes for us to, you know, we have a huge Suburban, so, and it was a tight parking lot, so we couldn't really manage to get out of the spot. It took quite a long time, and people were watching, and that was kind of funny and amazing to see us finagle our way out of that one.
Always good to hear some funny anecdotes when players come on. So, and I, as I say, before we came to recording, we were talking about a bit of a turbulent flight that you guys had from Chicago to Portland, but obviously you all arrived safely, so we're pleased about that. But never nice to hear when you have a difficult flight over. But talking about you as an individual, you were drafted out of Virginia in 2015. You came just at the back end of the first round. I think it was overall, you were the ninth selection out of the college system. Now, 2 years down the line, you've won Rookie of the Year. You are, I think it's fair to say, highly praised and highly thought of by media, fans, fellow professionals. Going into your third year, do you feel a little bit more pressure because of, you don't have that, I guess, that excuse or that that opportunity to say, you know, you're a rookie, you're still finding your feet. Now 2 years in as a professional, as I said, very highly thought of. Do you come into 2017 conscious that maybe there are a few more eyes on you?
I mean, definitely, I guess, a little more pressure. I think that it is my third year this year, and, you know, every year I want to make more of an impact, but now that it's my third year, I'm, you know, I've been around the players a lot. I've been around the team. I know how Rory works. So, I'm definitely going to need to make more of an impact I have in the past 2 years, and I think that's something I've focused on and I want to do this year. And I mean, it definitely comes with a little pressure, but I'm ready to take it on.
And in terms of that preparation, how key was the decision to go down to Australia? You obviously had your stint with Adelaide. Looked like it went really well there. I know the team narrowly missed out on reaching the postseason playoffs, but from what I could see, and unfortunately back in the UK, we don't get to see much of the W League. It looked like it worked out really well for you down there, and obviously helped for preparation going into the NWSL season.
Yeah, I mean, I heard from the girls in the past that the W League was a good opportunity in the off season, so I wanted to take advantage of it. You know, it's nice to be in a training environment as much as you can, and off season's kind of long. So for us to have the opportunity to go over to Australia is really great and be with the team every day, training and doing extra stuff on our own and, you know, staying around a soccer ball, basically. It's really helpful. And, you know, there's only so much you can do individually and on your own. And I think being around a team and training every day really, you know, helped me. And I think I'm a lot further along into this, like, preseason than I was last year, where I was just getting back into things and, you know, getting used to the speed of play again.
Did it meet your expectations? It looked like an awesome place, Adelaide, as well.
Yeah, Adelaide was awesome. I think the soccer is a little bit different, and it was definitely a grind at first. We didn't win many games, but we came around towards the later part of the season, which was nice to see from the girls, the fight that they put into it. So I think it was great overall. We loved our experience there, and I think it was a great opportunity for us.
And looking ahead to this season with Chicago, what do you think potentially you need to do differently to what you did last year that might get you over that hurdle and get you into a championship game, for example?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I think that the experience factor was missing a bit last year, and I think now that we've gone through two semifinals, we know what it takes, you know, we have to, like, to win it. So I think the experience helps us a lot, and you know, we're ready this year, and I think we can really do it this year. We can win it.
I remember speaking to Sofia Huerta, your teammate. I spoke to her last year for our Chicago Red Stars preview for 2016, and we were talking about sometimes the difficulties that can arise when national team players are with you and then they're going away, and then they're with you and then they're going away, and it sometimes makes it difficult to kind of build that chemistry and make sure that you have a consistent game plan and tactics, for example. How different do you think it's going to be this year? There's no major tournament for the US women's national team this year, which means the likes of Julie Johnston and Kristen Press and Alyssa Nair are not going to be away as much as they have been in previous years. How beneficial do you think that's going to be, and how much could it work in your favour going into this campaign?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be awesome having them around all year. I think that's going to help us. I think it was a little bit of a struggle for us having them in and out because different tendencies with different teams. So, and I think they're very invested, and we're lucky to have them. And they want to help the team in any way possible they can. And it's going to be nice having them the whole year.
And for you as an individual, I mentioned earlier, highly praised by media, by supporters. What's your personal goals for this year, Danielle, in terms of for Chicago? And I'm guessing it would be a rhetorical question to ask about US women's national team ambitions and trying to break into Jill Ellis's squad as well.
Yeah, I mean, for Chicago, I want to, you know, win championship with this team. I think we have the ability to do it, and we have the players to do it as well. So I think that's my main goal for this year for Chicago. And in terms of the national team, I'm going to keep pushing. It's definitely a grind, and it's not just going to come easy. Obviously, being in and out of it is not what I want to end my career with. So I want to make the team, and I'm going to keep grinding through it and keep pushing.
How much harder, final question, how much harder do you think the NWSL is going to be this year? Orlando Pride now have a year under their belt. They're no longer the new kids on the block in terms of only coming into a new season fresh from not having played before. All the other teams, like yourselves, have used the draft effectively and have brought in players. How difficult do you think it's going to be this year, and how difficult is it going to be replicating getting into the playoffs like it was last year?
Yeah, I think the league has grown, and I think it's been, you know, a lot. It's going to be a lot stronger this year, and we're going to have to play our best game every game, and it's not going to be easy. And I still think that we have the ability and players to, you know, win a championship. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Danielle, thank you very much for your time with us. Listeners, do keep an eye out for our other NWSL previews. They will be released as and when. So until then, we will catch up with you soon. So take care and bye-bye.